Good afternoon. You're listening to All Things Considered on VPR. In a moment, we'll get recommendations from our art hounds, but now it's time for the weekly conversation on the arts with Mary Williams.
An exhibition of 13 pieces of wood. Each piece is carved with the same phrase. Each phrase is written with the letters from an alphabet that's disappearing or dying. And the exhibition is called Endangered Alphabets Project. Writer and Champlain College professor Tim Brooks is the artist behind it, and he's here in the VPR studios to tell us more. Welcome.
Thanks for inviting me.
Your exhibition is called Endangered Alphabets Project, and it's been displayed in colleges and libraries all across the United States, and now it's at Champlain College, opened this week. How did the project begin?
Completely by accident. I actually started carving my family sort of signs, like names, shingles almost, for Christmas presents about 7 years ago, and discovered I really liked that, even though I had no background in art or carving or sign making. And then I started carving Chinese characters, and then quite by chance discovered that a third of the world's alphabets or writing systems are in danger of extinction. And so I started carving them. And I assumed that, you know, this was just a hobby. And people started saying, no, no, this is really important and this is art. And as I'd never been a visual artist before, this was new to me.
Why are these languages and alphabets endangered?
All over the world, there are people who grow up speaking one language at home, which they are not allowed to use in their education, which leaves them marginalized or disadvantaged in all kinds of ways. So I decided I was going to carve the phrase mother tongue in as many different endangered writing systems as I had time for. And then I chose the pieces of wood based on woods that grow in those particular regions. And I also chose pieces of wood that were very distressed, you know, not square boards. And as a result, they give the impression that, you know, these are not healthy, flourishing languages. These are ones that are sort of fractured or distressed.
So you said you had no experience in this particular art form. What does it feel like to pick up the carving tools and make that first cut?
So yeah, when I started, I sort of taught myself as I was going on that first set of pieces, and I discovered I really loved it. And now, especially at the end of the day, it's a great way for me to sort of wind down. Carving slows you down to the pace of the wood. I'm just using hand gouges. It's also really interesting that if at the end of the day you make something that you can take pride or satisfaction in, it's the perfect way to sort of settle whatever's been going on mentally during the course of the day. I can't wait to grab the piece of wood and start carving. It's really changed my outlook on many, many different things.
Okay, so you said you weren't an artist and you had no training in this sort of art form. Talk about some of the challenges of taking on a project like this.
One of the things that I wasn't expecting when I started this was that it would actually be an advantage not to be able to read or speak any of these languages, because it meant that I started looking at them from a purely graphic point of view. Why is this one so skinny? Why is this one so angular? Do they have common origins? These questions have dozens of different answers. And one of the things that I'm going to be doing at this exhibition at Champlain is offering to walk people through the carvings so I can answer exactly that question. What can we learn about, for example, the technology, the history of ideas, even the climate in this particular region or country based on the way its writing looks? I pass out the carvings and people hold them and they trace the letters with their fingers. So the relationship between the body and writing and meaning, it's very, very deep.
Maybe it's different from how you began, but what's the goal now? What's your goal?
Yeah, so it really began as a hobby, and it startled me when people said, A, this is important, and B, this is art. And so since then, I'm exploring, you know, artistic relationships. What about, creating a calligraphic form of this script? Which wood would that go with? How do you make this into art? Another one is very activist. So right now, in the last 2 days, I've been contacted by two different people saying, can you please do a carving in this endangered indigenous script? And a lot of what I'm doing now, it also involves connecting people with each other, because one of the things about an indigenous minority is they tend to be not only marginalized, but also segregated from others. And so sort of hooking people up to the extent that I can.
Well, Tim Brooks, thanks so much for coming in and telling us more.
Thanks for inviting me.